This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Judges, chapter 20, verse 36, where we left off last time. Judges, chapter 20, verse 36. We learned in the Hebrew that Judges comes from Shophat, the prime of the Hebrew, which means to put things in order. And I want to tell you right away that verses 36 through 46 today are simply a repeat of what the Bible taught us last week. So I'm going to give you a very brief recap. Remember that the Levite priest had married a concubine, and they were traveling through the tribe of Benjamin in a town of Gibeah. Benjamin was one of the 12 tribes, and the sons of Belial raped and killed the concubine. The Levite was so upset, and that this could happen with God's people in the promised land when there are 12 tribes, people through whom Messiah was going to come, that in desperation he cut the dead woman's body up into 12 parts and sent apart to every tribe and said, look how far away we've gotten from God. Well, that touched everybody's heart. 11 of those tribes came together there and they said, we will go to war against Benjamin, brother against brother. So the Israelites got 400 soldiers, men of war, and poor little Benjamin over there only had 26,700 warriors. But it was God's law in Deuteronomy 11, Deuteronomy 22, that a murderer shall be put to death and a rapist put to death. So there's a call to war, war against the brethren. So when we left off last week, Israel, the 11 tribes, won, and they wiped out Benjamin. And if you will read 36 through 46, airtime is expensive, so I'm not going to take time to read. That's the same thing. You read it at home, and you'll find we've only got 600 men left of the tribe of Benjamin. Man, God made 12 tribes. 12 is the number of divine government. 11 is disorder, chaos, and inept administration. So we've got to have the 12 tribes, because even God's word prophecy in Ezekiel says that all 12 tribes shall be saved. There's always going to be 12 tribes. So it looks like a tribe is about to be annihilated. So now we pick it up with a portion of verse 47.
With 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness toward the rock of Lemmon, and abode in the rock Lemmon 4 months.
Okay, the 600 men left only of Benjamin ran for their lives into the rock and hid there. They were running for their lives.
48. The men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword.
Okay, now, so the children of Israel were looking for any more Benjamites to kill. They had already killed all the other men in the war. In war, I mean, that's acceptable.
As well as the men of every city and the beast and all that came to hand.
Now, what they did then, they overperformed. It was right that they should kill the warriors fighting against them, but they went into all of the cities of the tribe of Benjamin. They killed the elderly. They killed the women. They killed the children. See, they shouldn't have killed the children. Those little boys would have grown up and could have been, you know, had the seed for the tribe. They even killed the animals. That's what you call overperforming. Sometimes the adrenaline pours too hard, doesn't it?
Also, they set on fire all the cities that they came to. Chapter 21, verse 1. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, there shall not any of us give his daughter to Benjamin for wife.
Okay, when they were first called to war, before they actually went to war, the men of the 11 tribes were so incensed at the tribe of Benjamin that they had let this horrible thing happen there in their town, sodomy and murder, that they said, we gotta let the tribe of Benjamin survive. We're not going to give you our daughters. Now understand, God said, do not mix the seed. But all 12 tribes were of the same seed. They were all of Abraham, understand? So while each tribe had its personality, the daughters could mix. It was not mixing the seed or anything like that. But so the other tribe said, even though you just got 600 left, we're not going to give you our daughters. In other words, ha ha ha, you're going to be annihilated. Brother against brother.
And the people came to the house of God.
Thank goodness.
Bethel, and abode there till even before God.
Now, they've learned their lesson. We learned this last week. You as a Christian have this same weapon in your arsenal as they used. First of all, they didn't know what to do. They need guidance. They need counsel. They're facing something they can't stand. Do I take this job? Do I marry this person? Do I go there? What do I do in ministry? What does God want me to do about this illness, this money, this job, this situation? Number one, you go to the house of God. It doesn't have to be a building, but it means where God is. And if you're going to go to someone for counsel, make sure it's a man or woman who has anointed and has every word of God in them. But it might be even in your place. You may have a place where you feel the presence. It's not a place. It's just you go to God. Understand, you go to his heart, basically. And then we learned last week that what they do, they sat before him and waited until evening. When you go to God, don't do all the talking. Prayer is supposed to be a two-way street. Sit before him and listen. I'm discipline myself to wait and listen on the Lord. And then they wept before him, and we're going to find out something else. And they fasted. See, you got five things you do, and one more thing. Listen to that.
And lifted up their voices and wept sorely.
They wept because they were very disturbed. They did realize that this was their brother Benjamin, and they did know enough of God's word, though we'd gone astray, that God meant for all 12 tribes to exist forever.
And said, O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel?
They're grieving for the fact that the tribe of Benjamin is about to be extinct. There are no women, there are just 600 men, no children.
Verse 4, and it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built them an altar and offered burnt offerings.
Now, that's the fifth thing they did. They gave an offering. I live this way. You go to God's heart. You weep before him whatever needs to be wept. You sit before him, not 2 minutes, but at least a day. You fast, and you give an offering. It'll work every time.
And peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation?
Okay, now, the best thing for them to have done was just, Lord, we were foolish and hasty when we vowed that we're not going to give them our daughters, but we've got to get wives to Benjamin. But they didn't repent. Sometimes, Christian, instead of trying to figure out, maybe you just need to stop, be still, and hear God. You know what repent means? Quit that. Stop. Turn around. So if they just would have repented, God would have forgiven them for the stupid vow. But no, they got to figure out a way. How difficult we make it for ourselves when all the while Jesus is the way. But they said, okay, here's the way. When we first went to war, we said that anybody in Israel who did not come and join us in this national emergency, national war, that we're going to kill them. Okay, that would be like called into the United States America military and you didn't show up. Kind of draft dodger.
Unto the Lord. Now they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up unto the Lord. And they there saying, he shall surely be put to death.
In other words, we're going to kill anybody that won't come and fight with us. I will say this, united we stand. We have seen what a group of prayer warriors can do, just uniting in prayer right here in Trumpet of Truth and in the United States of America. I mean, it's power. But what if the whole body of Christ in America got together? Boy, could we take back our land fast, and Jesus would be the Lord, the Bible would be the book, and we'd be a pure and holy nation again. So we are to come together. We are, when one of us is in a battle, we're all supposed to cover the wagon. Do you do that? I do.
The children of Israel repented them for Benjamin, their brother, and said, there is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. What shall we do for wives for them that remain?
We've only got 600 men. They're hidden out there in the wilderness of Rock Rimmon, and they don't have any wives. What are we going to do? Now, Benjamin was the last son born to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Remember the 12 patriarchs. And he was born of Jacob and Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel, who died giving birth to Benjamin. She, knowing she was going to die, she called Benjamin Benoni, son of my sorrow. But Jacob said, no, we can't give a child that name. Call him Benjamin, son of my right hand. But does it not look now that her prophetic name is true? This is a sorrowful thing that a tribe would be wiped out. Never God's plan, because it takes 12, the complete order of government, to institute the kingdom of Jesus Christ on earth through our father Abraham.
Faith was sworn to the Lord that we will not give them our daughters to wife.
Say they want, they're still stubbornly, because we're not going to give them our daughters. How can we find them wives? They're not going to get our daughters. How many times we argue with the Lord and try to figure out a way when it's so simple. Maybe you've just got it in your hand.
And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord?
Okay, now they're going to find another way. Wait a minute. We called some people up out of Israel. Was there anybody that did not come up? Remember, those men, we said we would kill them. Flashbulb, if we kill some men, maybe we could get their women to marry Benjamin.
And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead.
Now, Jabesh-Gilead, you say, that's not a tribe. Wait a minute. Do you remember when I taught you Jephthah, one of my favorite judges there? Jephthah's dad was Gilead, so the place was named after Jephthah's dad, Gilead, Jabesh-Gilead. There were three tribes there. One of the tribes is Gad, one was Reuben, and one was Manasseh. So, they're saying, wait just a minute. I don't believe Gad, Reuben, or half-tribe of Manasseh living there in Jabesh-Gilead. They didn't come up and help us fight. We could go kill them and get their women to marry the 600 men. Goodness.
In the assembly, verse 9, for the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there.
Okay, they checked it out. That's right. Those three tribes did not go up and fight.
Now the congregation set forth 12,000 men of the valiantest and commanded them, saying, go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead, the edge of the sword, with the women and the children.
Go and kill every man in Jabesh-Gilead, Gad, Reuben, and half-tribe of Manasseh, and every woman and the children. Now, wait a minute. They're going to need wives. How are they going to work this one out? This is man's little plan here.
And this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every man and every woman that hath lain by men.
Oh, only kill the women that had been with a man. The married women. Okay, kill them. Okay, you can see what they're going to do. They're going to try to find out if there are any maidens there who could marry the 600 men. They still stubbornly will not get up off what they have got, their own daughters. See how we go around and around and around when all the while we've got it ourselves, but it might cost us a little discomfort.
Verse 12, and they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins who had known no man by lying with a male.
I couldn't help when I studied this. Can you imagine those young virgins saw what they were doing, and maybe they weren't virgins. They say, I'm a virgin, let me live. Well, they found 400, okay. But we got 600 Benjamites. What are we going to do here about the 200?
They brought them into the camp at Shiloh.
Shiloh, that would be peace, and that would be where the Mosaic Temple is. By that time, they had moved the Ark of the Covenant to Shiloh. So this is the holy place where they would meet for feast and so forth.
Which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the Rock Lemmon.
Okay? So they said, go tell those 600 men of Benjamin that are hiding there, tell them to come out, that we're not going to kill them, but that we've got wives for them. We've got beautiful virgin girls for them so that their tribe will survive. May your tribe increase. You know, it's going to take Benjamin a little bit of courage to come out of hiding, but I think they realize they're between a rock Rimmon, and a hard place.
And to call peaceably unto them. Verse 14. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives of they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh Gilead. And yet so they suffered them not.
Okay. 400 wives for 400 men, suffered them not, is a figure of speech meaning, but it was not yet enough. We still need 200 more women because we've got to have all 600 men to replenish this tribe, multiply. So what are we going to do? How are we going to find 200 women?
The people repented them for Benjamin.
They were very sad about what they had done to Benjamin. They had realized they'd gone overboard. They shouldn't have killed the children. The children would have been the seed.
For that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel.
See, they were trying to reach for God. God didn't make the breach, the gap. They did it.
Then the elders of the congregation.
The elders, the leaders of the congregation.
And how shall we do for wives for them that remain?
Okay, how are we going to get 200 wives for the rest of them? Boy, this is a big project. Actually, this is a big project. The body of Christ should so come together that when just one part of us who's the body of Christ is lacking, when we don't have something we need to fulfill God's plan, because all 12 tribes are essential to fulfill God's plan. It's all in Ezekiel. I've taught it. When just one person, the body of Christ, does not have what they need, we're all to come together and take it seriously. If everybody in the body of Christ gave what they had, there would never be one need by anybody in the body of Christ who was serving God.
Seeing that the women are destroyed out of Benjamin, and they said there must be an inheritance for them that escaped of Benjamin.
Okay, they're thinking now and trying to remember the scriptures. Wait just a minute. In the promised land, when we first came in, God had given every one of us tribes a specific inheritance. So there is an inheritance for Benjamin. So that means, they figured it out, God wants Benjamin to last because he's got a property. Now, at the end of the millennium, the great white throne judgment comes, the lake of fire, the devil and everybody else goes into that. The earth is going to be rejuvenated, restore heaven on earth, Father, Son, Holy Spirit with us. And the book of Ezekiel 44 through 48 says, everybody then in the saved heaven on earth, rejuvenated spiritual bodies, no more tears, no more pain. Each one of us has going to have an allotted place for our future home. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a place for everybody. The elect will be the only ones who won't inherit property, but the elect inherit God. And when you inherit God, you can go any way you want to and be anything you want, so what else do you want? All I ever wanted was God.
Let not a tribe be destroyed out of Israel.
So see, they are realizing this is very severe, and they would be about to get out of God's order. 11 is always out of order.
Howbeit, we may not give them wives or by daughters.
But then they're going to stubborn thing. But we're not going to give them our daughters. Nope, not me. You know, get them to do it, but not me. But you could do it. Oh, no, I would have to go, you know, be uncomfortable. I'd have to go move some things around. I'd have to go draw out this or draw out that. No, let them do it.
Well, the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin.
Well, see, they said anybody that gives their wife to Benjamin, you're cursed. Well, once again, they could repent, and God would be merciful about it, because it was his plan that the daughters would be there for the tribes.
Verse 19, then said, behold, there's a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly.
Oh, wait a minute. Got an idea. I'm sure God was helping them out. There's supposed to be a feast at Shiloh once a year to celebrate God. Well, I tell you what, they got in the way. There were supposed to be 3 feasts at Shiloh to celebrate God. We still do them now. Jesus did not come to do away with this. We have the Feast of Passover. I do this here in Trumpet of Truth. We have Pentecost. We do that. And we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which is coming up now. And so what they had done, they had stopped going to all 3. But once a year, they would have some kind of a feast. They were trying to serve the Lord. They just did not have a shepherd. They didn't have the proper leader there, but they were at least trying, so they diminished it to once a year. But they didn't have any word. You know what they did? The girls just came out, Libby, and played the tambourine and danced and sang. They had fun. No word, but they had fun. But most of the tribes didn't even come, as you're about to see. They're going to describe and give directions how to get there, because nobody knows how to go to church.
And the place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway, that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem.
Just turn at the barn and then go to the well, you know. Nobody knows how to get there because nobody been going except a few. But the girls would be there with their tambourines, and there just was not any word. But at least they said, the young girls, the virgins, are going to be there dancing. Wait a minute, what can we do now?
And over south to Lebanon. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards.
Okay, you 200 men left of Benjamin that don't have any wives, go up there where they're going to do that tambourine dance and bells and everything, the girls, and you hide in the vineyard. In other words, if you want to camouflage, put a nice vine over yourself so they won't see you. Liars in wait, you know, they helped win the battle. The liars in wait in the body of Christ are the anointed prayer warriors. Nobody sees us doing it. I mean, we see people on television. We see places in the world. We call out names all over this place. Maybe your name's on it. Probably is if you've ever bumped into me or if I've ever seen you or heard of you. And we stand back and we don't get any fame and we don't get any fortune. And everybody says, isn't that amazing that happened to them? Isn't that amazing that happened to that nation? Look what happened to that person. We just sit here and say, thank you, Father. Oh, boy. He's going to reward. God sees in secret, rewards openly. Liars in wait. Okay, Benjamin, go camouflage yourself and get up close to where those pretty girls are dancing with a tambourine.
21. And see, and behold, that the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance and dances. Then come ye out of the vineyards, and to every man his wife.
The farmer caught a wife. I owe the dairy owner. The farmer caught a wife. So, all right, then you don't let them see you there. Now, when they come out, that was a worship spirit. It's good to dance in church, a holy dance, and sing. You go there and you catch you one. Catch you one. No wonder the woman says, I chased him till he caught me.
Of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin.
Now, get out of Dodge. Snatch your little girl there and take on over. Go into Benjamin now, each one of you. Isn't that something? Now, God is very serious about this virgin thing. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives a parable of 10 virgins, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. It symbolizes the whole of the body of Christ here at the end. And there's a fake bridegroom coming first. He's called the Antichrist, but he's going to pretend to be Jesus. Sweet and nice, peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. Big revival in the Christian church, except everybody be worshiping the Antichrist, who is the devil with his Jesus costume on. So, the point is that half of the body of Christ, 5 are foolish, will marry the Antichrist so they will not wait for the true bridegroom, so they cannot be at that wedding. You understand? So there we have the whole analogy there. And the Antichrist is coming and will catch and snatch you away and pretend to fly you up in his hot air balloon, Zechariah chapter 5, the basket there, to fly you out, to snatch you out. It's not Jesus snatching you out. Jesus is going to come and he said, well, I find any faith on there. Jesus is coming here to stay. It's the Antichrist is going to come and snatch you out. For he wants you to be his bride. Oh boy, what a lesson.
22. And it shall be when their fathers and their brethren come to us to complain.
Okay. Now, we know that the fathers and the brothers of these girls who were snatched there and taken over to Benjamin to be their wives, they're going to come and say, why did you take my daughter? I said I wasn't going to give my daughter to any of you people of Benjamin. I even made a vow to God that I wasn't going to do that. Here's the answer.
Then we will say unto them, be favorable unto them for our sake, because we reserve not to each man his wife.
You would not even let us have your daughters, which is God's plan.
To the war, for you did not give unto them at this time, that you should be guilty.
You should feel guilty. But then he goes on to explain, don't worry. God's not going to fuss at you about the vow, and you're not going to be in the curse because you did not give us your daughters, dads. We took them. We caught us a wife, caught us a wife. Isn't that the funniest thing you've ever seen? Can you imagine some of the homely girls over there, and they saw that dancing, saw men grabbing them? They probably ran. I want to dance, too. I want to dance, too. Probably started running toward the Benjamites. I just love to have seen that.
23. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to the number of them that danced,
200,
whom they caught. And they went and they returned it to their inheritance, and repaired the cities, and dwelt in them.
They repaired everything, and then they had their wives, and they began to be fruitful and multiply. So the tribe of Benjamin was saved. We're very happy that it was saved. Of course, it's God's plan. Because next week in Trumpet of Truth, we're going to go to the New Testament and study some of the Apostle Paul's great teachings, which will help you grow. The Apostle Paul, Romans 11:1 says, I am an Israelite, a Hebrew, of the tribe of Benjamin. So one of these 600 men that survived is an ancestor of our beloved Apostle Paul. See? God had a great plan. If they'd all been wiped out, we might not have Paul.
24. Now the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family.
So all the tribes went home. Wow, what an experience.
And they went off then, every man to his inheritance. 25. But in those days there was no king in Israel.
No one to set things in order. And that was basically the theme of Judges. After Joshua died, he had been a great leader. They went through this long period, and God would appoint a judge, and then sometimes they would not have a judge, and they would have these terrible things happen, trying to find God. See, all of us need a God-appointed shepherd over us in the human form. And if it's the God-appointed one, that shepherd, that man or woman, is listening to God about you. Your enemy is not the man or woman appointed over you. That's not. The enemy is the devil that will cause you not to listen to that one, because that one is watching over you. He knows that sheep go astray, and they're watching out for you and watching out for your soul and caring for you. And yes, God would set great judges. Remember Ehud, the man left-handed? They expected a person to use the right hand with a knife or anything, and the enemy was a great big fat man, and Ehud, the God-appointed judge, reached with his left hand, nobody was watching, and stabbed the mean old enemy of the Israelites. And the man was so fat that the fat closed in over the blade. And then there were lots of little judges that we didn't say too much about, but they were obviously important to God. And there was beautiful Deborah. Her name in the Hebrew means to talk, to tell, to speak, to say, and mean the word of God. Barak, who should have led the children of Israel in the battle with Sisera, the mean old man who had 900 chariots of iron, Barak said, I will not go and fight Sisera unless Deborah, the word, goes before me. So let the word always go before you and be with you and behind you. And remember when Deborah and Barak were winning the war, Sisera escaped, and a little woman with a tent said, hey, big boy, you want some buttermilk? Come into my tent. And so Sisera goes into her tent. She gives him some buttermilk. He's so tired, he goes to sleep, and she puts a tent peg in his head. Genesis 3:15, her seed shall bruise your head. Hallelujah. And so on and on. Who can forget Gideon? Oh, my Lord, Gideon with all the drama. I mean, blowing the trumpets and crashing the earthen vessels and lighting the torches. I mean, just all of that drama, the noise and the sound and the lights caused the enemy to so be confused, the enemy destroyed themselves. Isn't that something? And my very favorite, Jephthah. Nobody in the tribes encouraged Jephthah. Nobody said, you're doing a good job. Nobody was there when his heart was broken. But he did what he was to do. And he knew the word of God, and he did the word of God. And when they needed a warrior, he fought and he won for Israel. And he even gave up his beloved only child, his only little daughter, who gave her life for God to go and live in the temple and serve God forever. And then, of course, who can forget Samson with all of the strength, the beautiful hair, but like a childlike heart needing the love of a woman so much, he trusted Delilah, and she cut his hair off and turned him into the Philistines, who gouged out his eyes and hooked him up like an animal to grind the meal. But God remembered him. His hair grew back and the spirit returned on him. And as he was out there performing for the Philistines, who had gathered 3,000 lords and ladies of the evil Philistines, plus multitudes and thousands of others, God, he said, one more time, God, one more time. And he said, let me die with this. He picked up the temple, the pillars, and he picked up that whole building and destroyed thousands and thousands, all the government of the evil Philistines. But he also died. No greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his friend. To be the judge then and to be the judge now, one thing happened to all of them. They had the Holy Spirit come upon them. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, supernatural strength to do that which you could never do comes. Supernatural wisdom and the word of prophecy from the word of God and great power comes out, and that happened to them. Now you are a king and a priest, and you're to set things in order in your family, in your schedule, in your workplace, and please, in your cell phone. You know why they call it a cell phone? Because you're in prison to it. Bowing, bowing, bowing to it. Divine order. Everything needs to be in divine order in your life. It's very important. And that even means like cleaning out a closet. And I'm working on those things, okay? In other words, to be in order. Now, the Bible says, do you not know that saints shall judge angels? The Lord Jesus is coming back, the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennium, and he's going to set things in order, perfect order. The great judge, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's have a hand for the book of Judges. I'm going to begin some teachings by the Apostle Paul. I'm going to do the entire book of Ephesians, but just before I do it next week, I'm going to teach an entire book of the Bible by Paul, but it only has one chapter, the little chapter Philemon. I felt led to do that. I can do it. It has a deep spiritual meaning which you need to know. Then you can say you've had another book of the Bible, and then we'll go into Ephesians. Okay, well, it's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. And I want to introduce you the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, anointed man of God, my twin friend, whom God has just healed, amen. Scott Mercer.
Amen. That was just a great teaching tonight. And what a book for the restoration of the vision of the supernatural movement.
Supernatural movement, amen. Absolutely. Amen. We're supposed to move awesome. Supernatural.
We are.
Absolutely.
Okay, our question tonight. Are we the same person after we get saved? Am I still me, or should there be a change?
You're not the same person if you're really saved. You should not be you anymore, and there should be a change. Paul, the apostle, gives this example. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. It's like in Bible times, if someone murdered someone, when they caught the murderer, they would tie the dead corpse to the murderer, and he had to drag that around. He could never move it, not to bathe, not to eat, not to work or anything. And so you see you're dead in trespasses and sin. And the Bible says you're being changed from glory to glory. You are. He also says you are being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are new. Now, in your body, if your eyes are blue, they'll still be blue. But that's not you. That's just your clay vessel. I have seen personalities change from wallflower to outgoing. Because, see, introvert means you're thinking of you, and outrovert means you're thinking out there. You see, poor little me, you don't want poor little me anymore. That's gone, dead. Don't drag it around anymore. Some of you Christians are dragging around the dead corpse because of me. Oh, my goodness, get out of that. New creation. We're new, and we're supposed to change. I've seen people stop immediately drinking alcohol, be delivered from that disease and from tobacco. Yes, you're a new person. You're a new person. There's a spirit of life in you now. You were dead. Now you're alive. There's a lot of difference.
Right?
Okay.
I died for myself.
Well, David left his stuff in the cart, and Zeke put his stuff in the bag, so we just can't wait to hear Scott's stuff.
These things are not of man, but of God. For what man knows are things of man. No one knows the things of God, but the Spirit of God. Through this Spirit, we are given things freely to be made known of God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. They are spiritually discerned. He who is spiritual judges all things.
That is so beautiful, right timely with everything we're talking about. Thank you very much. Scott Mercer, that is very beautiful. I'm going to pray for the sick, but just before I do, if any of you are not saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And grow me in your word.
And grow me in your word.
Please use me.
Please use me.
To increase the kingdom.
To increase the kingdom.
Of Jesus Christ on earth.
Of Jesus Christ on earth.
As it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Now I pray that those of you who did pray that and meant it, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Yes, my phone's back working now after all that we went through with Hurricane and other things too. And feel free to leave that message on my voicemail and I will pray for you. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, I ask that the Son of Righteous arise with healing in your wings. And I ask, Father God, that you will go into the bronchial area, into the lungs and the throat, and clear out any congestion there into the thyroid. And I ask that Son of Righteous, its laser beams right down the backbone, the spine, from the brain stem right on down, each vertebrae. Let there be some traction on the vertebrae. Let the nerves be unpinched, and let the disc and everything be repaired. Wherever there's missing bone, let there be missing bone repaired there in Jesus' name. Let the kidneys be healed and the blood be healed in Jesus' name. Let feet be made strong. Let diabetes be gone in Jesus' name. Heart's disease, mental disease in Jesus' mighty name. In the name and the power of Jesus, where there's cancer in the nasal passages, we speak to the cancer. Let it dissolve and be gone by the hand of Jesus. And where there needs to be a wall between the nasal passages and the brain, let the Lord Jesus, O Son of Righteous, rise and build the wall out of the body parts there. Ah, heal in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. He sent his word and healed us. Somebody got that and you want to call and tell me that. Praise ye the Lord. He sent his word and healed. We give God the glory. Now your love line of the week, from God's heart to my heart to your heart. I've been giving you scriptures to memorize. These first scriptures, a series, will be so that you can be a good witness. The first one and the second and the third that I gave you all help you to understand why Jesus came. And this will continue that so that it will help you get equipped. And it is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, that's that seed from that first one I gave you, Genesis 3:15. Her seed shall bruise your head. Now, don't forget, every Thursday from 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I are here at my school to pray for you. And something new, I also will answer my phone live on Thursday. You will not have to go through the machine. All over the world, you may call me from 12 noon to 2 p.m. for prayer. I will personally answer. Because, see, people kind of stroll in, but I'll still be by the phone there. Now, you may also call my phone for prayer 24 hours a day any other time, but the other times I won't be at the phone, but I'll still get your message. But on Thursdays, live for prayer, telephone all over the world, or come here to my school. Sundays, 5 p.m., this wonderful word and prayer. Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., wonderful word and prayer. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my heel twin friend Scott Merson saying, we love you, God bless you, God keep you, and make his face to shine upon you. And tell everybody you know and invite them to go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Hi friends, Paul Esposito here, station manager of 91.5 FM WMIE. I just want to remind everyone that our fall fundraiser, known as The Offering, will be kicking off this Monday morning at 7 o'clock. Once again, we're raising $30,000 for another 6 months of commercial-free broadcasting here at WMIE. And I'm pleased to announce we're at $13,868. All due to you, faithful listeners, who have already sent in their gift when you received a letter in the mail. $13,868. We're almost at the halfway point, so please join us Monday morning. We will not be preempting programs in the first half of the week, but I'll be sharing our needs and giving updates with you in between programs and during the music hours. $13,868. We have a remaining goal between Monday and Friday of next week of $16,132. So please be in prayer for us that we will be able to raise the money we need for us to continue to broadcast here the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all the great praise and worship music here.
Don't do the to preach on Matthew. If you haven't yet, let Mark get down to.
You don't do.
You don't do to preach on Matthew. If you have not yet read Mark, you don't do to talk about the judgment if there is no love in your heart. Word became flesh and he dwelt among men. We have seen him with our eyes. We have held him in our hands. And before you say whatever you will, I think you better do what you can. Bow down to the golden calf, down to. Get down to preach on Moses. You bow down to the golden calf, down to. Get down to preach on Moses. If you bow down to the golden calf, down to talk about glory.
I know who's is a healing comfort for me. Grace to me is a matchless gift to me. Your power in me is a mighty river in me. At the end of the day, with setting of the sun, after all is said and done, what else can I do but worship? What else can I do? All I really long for is you. All I really yearn for is you. Your sovereignty is a sure foundation for me. Care for me is enduring peace in me. Your hope in me brings a sweet surrender to me. At the end of the day, with the setting of the sun, after all is said and done, what else can I do but worship? What else can I do but bow? 'Cause all I really all I really yearn for is you. Can I do but worship? What else can I do but bow? 'Cause all I really long for is you. All I really yearn for is you. What else can I do? Joining in the sound of heaven's song, 'cause all I really long for is you. All I really yearn for is you. All I really need, Lord, is you.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true? I could run away would never leave. You will always stay right by my side. I could run away.